Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alrighty, good evening, everyone. It's the 28th, 29th? I lose 29th, right? Right? Let me see here. It is the 29th of May. It's a Tuesday. I keep forgetting. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I think many people forgot what Memorial Day is. And, I kind of take Memorial Day a few steps farther because I personally am getting tired of these wars. I think most of the military are getting tired of them. And, wouldn't it be nice to mourn for less people if our government wasn't going out there trying to get us in every damn place there is so they can build up their military-industrial complex? I mean, I'm all for fighting, to save our country, to continue our freedom. But, we start invading countries because a UN resolution says, you went too far. That's a problem. Hey, this is Super Dave's show. I guess I ought to say who we are here. And if you'd like to be part of the show, the first hour, we're going to be talking to Mike Moon, who is running for the 7th District here in Springfield, Missouri. 7th District is the southwest portion of the congressional district here. Number to call, 323-784-9620. Mike will be joining us shortly. He's going to have a tough time because you've got a lot of dead brain Republicans that say, yeah, let's go with that guy that's voted against everything that is against our freedom. And I think he was successful once. I like Billy Long. I think I get along with him fine, but that doesn't mean I want him to be my congressman. And I'm not saying he isn't. I'm not saying who's who. I'm going to let you guys figure it out. But frankly, we're going to talk to Mike, and we're going to see what kind of differences there are between Mike and Billy and maybe some of the other people. I think we've all grown. I've been hard on Mike sometimes, but it's just hard because it's like if you're going to say it, you better back it up, and that's it. So I think Mike understands, and Mike's a good guy. I mean, I like Mike, and let's see what happens. But he's going to have a tough road ahead of him because Billy Long is the incumbent, and as we know, we like to continue the disaster. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. It really isn't. I'm gonna go back to Memorial Day yesterday. I would really like to see it where we have less of the military coming back in caskets or or with no arms and legs, missing arms and legs, and God knows whatever else. Saw a guy yesterday on 60 Minutes who was blind, day before yesterday, who was blind. Just too many people out there getting injured and maimed, and all in the sake of protecting freedom and totally, totally disregarding our Constitution. My goodness, why should we use the Constitution? That just gets in the way. Oh, geez. And that's what gets me, because I've had, over the weekend, I've had some discussions with people, and I didn't want to say anything on Sunday because one of my friends in her Facebook had mentioned how it was a salute to the veteran, veterans, and of course it's really a salute to the dead veterans, or the dead ones, the people that died in action, and it's well deserved because most of these people are out there doing what their orders are, what they have to do. But I'm beginning to wonder if maybe we ought to start teaching our military. Of course, they're not going to get there from the top. If we start teaching our military that it might be might be time that if it's against Constitution, we're not going to do anything with that. So, you know, we're going to find out. But, you know, I'm going to see what Mike thinks about that kind of stuff. And, you know, we got to get into the nitty-gritty here because, frankly, too many people out there are just kind of, you know, they look at the cute commercials and all that stuff. And I know Mike's a super rich guy, and he's going to put all kinds of commercials out there. Anyway, I think we have Mike on the phone here. All right, Mike, you ready? You out there, big guy?
Wait, Dave, you said I'm a rich guy.
Well, yeah. You're a Republican. All Republicans are rich. Isn't that what the media tells us?
Well, I guess I'm hiding a gold mine somewhere, but I haven't found it yet.
Well, don't worry about it. But as soon as you find it, the government's going to go ahead and take it away, take a lot of it away.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. All right, everybody. This is Mike Moon, everybody, and he is running for the 7th District. And you're going to be running against Billy Long. And by the way, is there anybody? There's one other person, I think, in the race, isn't there?
There is.
Who is? I forgot.
Well, I don't want to give any advertising for a third candidate.
So you don't have to.
Let's just leave it at that. If the listeners don't know who it is, that's okay by me.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, otherwise people are going to go, hey, that's a smart move. What the hell? Why do you want to be in government when you're doing smart things? That doesn't make good sense, buddy.
Is that a question?
It's kind of a comment. How's that?
I'll leave it at that. That's good.
Yeah.
Great.
Tell you what, I think we're getting some reverb back there. Let me see if we still are. I'm going to check with somebody.
Yes, I hear that myself, too.
Tell you what, maybe we should do this. Maybe you should hang up and call right back, and we'll try it again. Will that work for you?
I'll do it. See you in a minute.
All righty. See me. Either that or just come in my studio here, and we'll do it from here, if that's what it takes. Yep, still doing it. Okay. All right, he's going to call back. We're going to try this again. It has been working rather well. I'm really disappointed AT&T, though, because that's who I have my high speed with, and frankly, it's a little disappointing because I'm beginning to think that most of the people that show up at my house who are going to fix the high-speed issues aren't going to be there. So, all right, you're back on the phone, Mike. I'll just ask Ronnie if when he starts listening to you, if it still sounds like you've got reverb.
Okay. This sounds better than on my end.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I hear it again.
Wow.
Yeah. Can you hear it?
I can't hear it on my end. It sounds good, but...
Okay.
You know.
Well, I've got about a second delay, and it comes back at me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, because everything sounds really good on my end, but Ronnie White's going to come back and tell me that we probably have reverb again. And it sounded good at first, huh? Yep, still has it. Well, darn it.
Well, if you don't hear it, was it going to come across on the recording?
You know, I really don't know. Okay. Is there, by chance, any other phone you can call from just to double check? Is that possible?
Let me see here. It's not a landline, but let me pull another one up. Hang on a second.
All right. I'm sure you're a rich guy. You got phones all over your house. Just pick one.
All right.
We're trying, folks. We're trying. By the way, last week we had an interview with Cynthia Davis, who is running for lieutenant governor. It sounds like he's in a stadium. Yeah, I think it's him. I don't think it's me. I think it's who knows? Might be close to his speakers. Very good. You know, Ronnie, you ought to work with me here. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, Cynthia Davis. You know, a lot of people can't listen at this time, and so what happens is they listen to the archives, and I'm telling you, there were a ton of people. Probably some from the competitors to the opponents to Cynthia Davis that listened to our interview, but it was quite intriguing how many people had listened to the archives. So people do listen to it. So I remember when I first started this, it was like I never really paid that much attention to some of the other stuff, but once I learned that a lot of people are listening, I can't afford you. That's right, Ronnie. That's right. You're a teacher. We can't afford you teachers. We all know you're filthy rich, and that's why they stole money from you when they decided to have IB. Ronnie White is Master Sergeant Ronnie White. He's from Ozark. and he teaches ROTC. And I have heard some good reports about you, Ronnie, so you must be doing a pretty good job with your students. And honestly, I think they're, you know, the parents I've talked to are just extremely happy with you. But in the meantime, what we're doing is we're waiting for our guest to call back. We don't know if it's his phone or Blog Talk or whatever, but we're going to do what we can. I was listening to some of the shows, and I can't stand it anymore because they don't report the actual news. They are reporting, I mean, obviously Romney's already won it, and what's amazing to me, he's won it, but even though he's won it, he still, there are conventions throughout the United States. All right, let's try it again. Go ahead and say something there, Mike, and let's see how well it works, and our people that are listening will let us know.
Okay, how's this? I still hear it.
You still hear it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, darn. Well, shoot, I don't know what to do. I really don't. It's a different phone, too, right?
Yes, sir,
yes,
it
sir.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, let's just talk for a little bit and see what happens, and it's worse.
Okay,
oh,
okay.
God.
Already.
Well, man, I wish I knew what I could tell you. You don't have Skype by chance, do you?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I need to get more technologically advanced so
yes,
and
you
get
do.
That set up.
Yes, you do. It's actually fairly easy to get Skype. You can download it in about 2 minutes, and then you're on. It's really easy then, and then you just go ahead and it's all voice over IP, and for some reason it works really well. Actually, I'm on Skype right now. Mike sounds better, it says, so just keep talking, okay? Maybe it's your voice. Maybe that's it.
Well, now I don't hear it right at the moment, so maybe we're good.
Well, that's it. Well, good. All right, Mike, you ran for Congress last time. I don't remember how much votes you got. Honest to goodness, what makes you think you got a better chance this time, or does that matter?
Well, I got 4,473 votes, and that was not the best showing, I admit. But to answer your question on why I think I might be more successful this time, this was not the plan that I had in mind, Dave. When I ran for Congress in 2010, we did it because we had a compulsion to do so, and we had people throughout the campaign saying, well, you know, this will be good for you because now you'll have name recognition, then you can run for a state office and win. And that was not my intent. We felt so compelled that our government needs change, and, of course, I believe in leading on the local level, too. That's why we're involved in the Lawrence County issues as well. But we need someone who will go to Washington and not be afraid to offend those who are in leadership and stand up on the principles that the Constitution that provides and this our founding fathers promoted and vote according to the Constitution. You know, back to why we think we might be more successful this time, we don't have eight others in the race or eight total in the race, so that's beneficial. And the other thing is, even though we're running against an incumbent who has, I believe, has party backing and has a pretty good cache of money stored away, that we have a little bit better name recognition. That's in our favor. We still have a long way to go there. But there is a strong anti-incumbent, not just incumbent, but Billy Long sentiment there, that many times all we have to do is say who we're running against, and they say we'll support you. So we're seeing good favor in that aspect. But the honest truth is, you talked about money as you were introducing me. We don't have a lot of money. And it unless the Lord intervenes and provides some miracle where we don't need airtime, we're at a great disadvantage. So we're just trying to meet as many people as we can. A grassroots campaign is what we're running. And we're doing it. We're running with the mindset that we're not going to have a lot of money in the end. And so
okay.
We're just working hard every day.
Okay, let me ask you, Mike. All right.
Okay, go
okay.
ahead.
As you know, it's about the money. I mean, you got to have money to run a campaign. Now let's – okay, I'm going to give you a shot here because people will listen to this. And you tell them why they should spend – and I'm just putting this out there. I say this to anybody. Why should they spend their hard-earned money to contribute to your campaign? Give them your best shot. Tell them in the shortest time you can, not like a politician, in the shortest time you can.
And before I answer that question, I don't remember where the man was from, but his last name was Green, spent $10,000 and won a campaign. It's doable without a lot of money. But why should someone spend their hard-earned money to elect me? Well, how about the National Defense Authorization Act? How about the H.R. 347, which takes away your First Amendment rights for free speech? How about the Cybersecurity Act? It takes away your privilege of being secure in the emails and the telephone calls that you make in any electronic method you use to communicate. The government now has the ability to spy on you and use it for whatever ways they want to use it. And our incumbent Republican representative voted for all three of those. We need to get him out. And if it's not me, then who? And we need someone who has learned in the Constitution, and I've got a lot more learning to do, I admit. But I'm studying it, and I think I know what Article 1, Section 8 says, the authority that is given to the congressional representatives, what their limitations are. We need to get back to a smaller government, one that doesn't tax you to death like we're being taxed today, and one that will be limited by the Constitution. But, Dave, here's the real truth behind this.
Hold on. Let me ask you. We want to go back and forth with this, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you don't have a choice. You're going to have to.
All right.
Okay. You talked about those different acts, okay? You know as well as I do, most people don't even know what these are, all right? And I'm going to make a suggestion here, and this is what I do. Instead of telling them, ask them, is this okay for you to do? If that's okay for you to do. And if that's okay, then please don't donate anything to my campaign, because apparently you want the government to know what's going on with your phone calls and with your internet activity and the rest of it. I mean, I think it, instead of doing it the same old way, and I'm just, I'm playing a little help here, if I may, ask them those questions and make them think, because I think what's gone on in politics is people tell. Does that make sense? And if we don't ask and get them engaged, then they're just going to go, whatever, and then they're going to vote for the same guy.
And, Dave, you're exactly right there. And when you talk about engagement, one thing that frustrates me to no end is to find how many people, some who don't even know who our representative is, and secondly, when they do know and find out what he's done, don't seem to care. Now, granted, there are quite a number of people who do care, and that's great, and that's the people we have to meet. And so you're exactly right. I think that's a tact that would work.
Well, and the reason I bring that up, Mike, is because I see it over and over and over. And if everyone does the same thing, which for some reason they tend to do, people tune you out. You're a parent. You know how that goes. When you go in there and start talking to your kids a lot of times, and they're used to your procedure, they tune you out, especially teenagers. Yeah. God love them. You got great kids. I have a wonderful daughter, but they're still going to tune you out. And I think voters do the same thing.
Yeah. One thing that came to mind when you were talking about that is the first Lincoln days that we attended, I made a speech that some considered over the top. And I admit, it probably sounded that way if you were in person. We had a poor sound system.
What made it over the top? Why was it over the top? Instead of just saying a general... Why was it?
Probably part of the things that played into it was my volume. I was probably yelling because the sound system wasn't good, and I had to enunciate and project so that they could hear me. But the message was clearly anti what Billy Long has done. And I just told them the facts. And I turned a lot of people off. I think I turned a lot of people on too, though. There were some people who wouldn't look me in the eye as they left the meeting that night. And, I don't like to burn bridges, but I was telling the truth. I made a lot of people upset. That's the way it is.
Well, Mike, you're making my point. Okay, but I want to give you – and look, I think I'm not too bad at this, but I'm going to give you a little help with this if you don't mind. And if I'm wrong, you don't have to do anything. But the reason I say this is because if you're listening, think of yourself as a listener, all right, and you're just nailing people, like he did this and he did that, people will turn you off. But when you ask them a question and engage them, if this is okay with you, I think that gets them thinking. Does that make sense? And I'm not trying to tell how to run your campaign, but I think it does make a difference.
And you're playing into exactly what I did in some of those, because I asked the question, would a conservative have voted for these things? And I asked several different points. And I didn't get much of a response the first time, so I said, wait a minute, this is a Republican meeting, right? There was a few chuckles. And finally, they got into the swing of it, and the majority said no. But I think what I did was I just spoke against an incumbent Republican. Now, I've learned since then, if I talk about President Obama, or if I talk about Claire McCaskill, heaven forbid she'd ever be president, but talk about them, you know, many times there's cheers. But when I talk about a Republican, oh, it's like, hey, don't even broach that subject. You need to be quiet. And so that's the feeling I was getting. And I think that's wrong. If we have a Republican, anybody who's voting against the Constitution and voting our rights away, they ought to be brought back home. And that's what my intent is in this campaign.
Okay. I'm going to bring up a couple things here that I know it's hot, but I'm going to bring it up anyway because I think it's important. All right.
Okay.
A few years ago, if you would have brought up the name Ron Paul to me, I would have said no.
Okay.
Because I was another non-thinking person, truly. I thought I was thinking, but I was really non-thinking. And now it's a totally different story. And of course, now if you bring up the word Ron Paul with conventional Republicans, which I call liberal Republicans, because that's what they become, then all of a sudden it's bad. Where are you with the Ron Paul attitude about what he stands for and all that? I mean, you know, is this a guy you like or don't like or what?
Well, I like Ron Paul's stance on the Constitution. He has voted consistently over, the last 20 years. Not every vote has been perfect, but he has stayed true to the Constitution. We need more people who will do that. Now, there are some things that I'm still working through that I may not agree with 100%. But his fiscal policy, he and I line up just line by line. We're parallel on that. So it's funny that you asked that, because we had several events a couple of Saturdays ago. We had a group working down in the city of Nix at the Sucker Days, and there were some folks who approached some of our team talking about how I was, so anti-Republican values, and I was appalling. And they even said, talking about my faith, that he might not even be a Christian. Well, I wasn't there to defend myself, but I think those guys kind of they put up a pretty good defense.
I would have been there. Oh, I love those people.
But here's the part that I'm getting to.
How do they? I got a question. How do they walk with their head between their legs? Go ahead.
Well, I had someone ask me, are you a Pauly? And I said, look, and I told them just what I told you before. There are some things that I don't agree with, a lot of things I do agree with, but here's the bottom line in this campaign. I have to reach out to Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, Constitutional Party members. I've got to get all their votes, because if I just leave it to the GOP Central Committee people and their followers, there's a 99% chance that I'm not going to make it past, I'm not going to make it past the primary election. But so I've got to reach, and I think you would agree, that I've got to reach out to everybody. And
well, I'm going to disagree with you. No, I'm going to disagree with you, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because
alrighty.
I don't, where I'm a fan of Dr. Paul personally is the fact that he doesn't reach out to anybody. He reaches out the Constitution and lets that do the talking for him. And if it's something you don't want to agree with, that's your problem. But I think when you reach out for people, you cater to them. And frankly, I think the Ron Paul movement, as someone told me, one of the talk show hosts I talked with said, if he was to die tomorrow, the movement is not done. It's going to continue. And it's about the Constitution. It's about those things. So that's where I'm going to disagree with you there, because I don't – I think you have to get to a point – you ever get to a point where it's like, I don't give a damn what they think. I'm going to do what's right, and just whatever happens, happens?
Well, I think if you dig deep into what I stand for, and if you ask people who have associated with me, I think you'd find that. Now, when I say reaching out, here's what I mean. The day that that Rick Santorum had his rally in Springfield, I took my group and we went over there and we handed out literature. Also, do you remember what happened that night?
Well, yeah.
Ron Paul had his rally.
Right.
And so we attended that.
I saw you at the door. You were handing out $5 bills and say, vote for me or something like that.
No, they were $10 bills. Well, that's what I mean by reaching out. I've got to talk to him, because here's something that really I think people need to understand. The one who was elected to represent the Missouri 7th Congressional District isn't listening. He's not even listening to some diehard Republicans. I've had them tell me that. But he's not listening to Democrats. He's not listening to Libertarians. He's not listening to Constitution Party members. And if a Ron Paul group contacted him, do you think he'd have a meeting with them? Maybe, but I doubt it. And so that's what I'm talking about, reaching out to them. I want them to know that I'm a viable candidate, and if they elect me, I'll give them the time of day. And if, for example, if I have town halls, which I plan to, I'd show up, and I'd let them ask me unfiltered questions.
You know what I'd like to hear from a candidate, Mike, honestly?
What's that?
All right. Let's say a voter comes up to you and asks you a question, and you know it's not constitutional, but it really sounds good. I want to hear a candidate say, you know what, I'd really like to do that. I have one problem, though, and I can't get past it. That's the problem we got. There's this thing called Constitution, and it won't let me do that. Now, if you'll do the research and find out where I can do it constitutionally, then maybe we can talk about it. I think if a candidate does that, they will excel. But when you try to please millions of people, because many candidates will go on one venue and they'll say one thing, and they'll go on another venue and say the other thing, and then the press will keep quiet or speak about it, depending on what side they're on.
I hope I didn't misstate that, because I didn't say that I'm going to try to please everybody. I'm telling them that they're going to have a listening ear, because there are liberals, in our district, but they need to be heard. It doesn't mean that I'm going to try to do what they want, because I think you're exactly right. Article 1, Section 8 gives clear limitations on what the Congress can do. And that's part of the problem that we have. We have representatives in there submitting bills that are so far outside their constitutional authority, it's just ridiculous. And so we need to have someone go in and repealing those things and taking a fresh approach and abiding by the Constitution. So you're right.
You know, and I think I feel like I'm playing campaign manager. That's what I'm trying to do. It's just that I think if you make it simple, people will pay attention. But, you know, when I hear people, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to fix that, for someone like me and many other people, it's like as soon as the politician tells me they're going to fix something, you got to hold on your wallet and hold on your freedoms, because you know something's coming and it ain't going to be good. You know, that's bottom line. So I think, you know, what I was coming up with is probably probably a much better way. You and I have had our discussions when it came to the military. And you know, we've had our issues with that. But I think what you didn't understand, what I was trying to say, and maybe I'll give a quick synopsis of, I think on your website, you're talking about spending. I'm explain it more, because somewhere or another it didn't go right, and I want to make sure, because to me it was like, why are we spending more money on the military now when we can't even afford what we're paying now? You know.
Have you looked at the website lately?
No, I haven't. I didn't on purpose, because I want you to explain.
Well, it's not there, because that was a point that it probably shouldn't have been there, but here's the point I was trying to
make.
You
mean what I do sometimes actually makes a difference?
What's that? Well, you were right. See, if you point out something to me, like some of the things that you've pointed out already tonight, I'll think about them. And it's not that, well, goodness, Dave said it, so it's got to be trash. I mean, that's not true. Everything, not everything, but people give good ideas. And they may be totally opposite of what I've thought before, but it doesn't mean they don't deserve thought. And when you mention that, see, my point about raising the military budget by 2% was this. In the Cold War, the military budget was at 6% of the GDP, and currently, at that time, the writing on the website, it was about 4%. So I thought, well, let's raise it back up to the 6%, because if you have a strong military, it's not from the perspective that I say we can go out and be the bully of the world or be the policeman of the world. I think that's totally wrong. I don't think that's what the founding fathers wanted.
Well, isn't that your issue with Dr. Paul? Because you think that he wants to pull all the troops down and we're supposed to sit here and wait for somebody to attack us? I mean, one thing that I had an issue with not you necessarily, but other people, because, you know, it's always about his foreign policy, and I'm trying to figure out where his foreign policy is bad.
Well, that was never an issue there, because I believe that we need to protect our own borders. I told someone recently that if I could have a magic wand and do this, I'd bring our troops home and let them protect the border, but we'd give them guns this time. I mean, you know, can you imagine? We've had our troops on the border patrolling; they couldn't have weapons. That's ludicrous. But I believe that we could do a much better job with our troops there. The thing that I believe, and let me go back to this, I can't quote it exactly, but one of our founding fathers said, it's kind of like the best defense is a good offense. You know, if you show military strength, there are not going to be too many countries coming knocking on our door saying, hey, we want to pick a fight. But at the same time, we shouldn't be doing that either. You realize, Dave, I'm sure, that we haven't had a declared war since World War II.
That's correct.
And so where was our Congress when we went to Iraq and Afghanistan and Korea and Vietnam? I mean,
that's easy.
Yeah.
They were totally avoiding the Constitution, because Constitution doesn't mean anything. And that's where, honestly, that's where a lot of us had to wake up. I mean, really, it is. I had certain times in my life when I woke up, and when it finally hit me one day, it's like, no, wait a minute. We are, you know, like, remember it was about lockbox before and the rest of it. This year it seems like the Constitution started out popular, but now that Mitt Romney is what the media is trying to push on us and all that stuff, all of a sudden the Constitution doesn't matter again. It's about government fixing the economy when the government can't fix anything except get out of the way. You know,
that's right.
Hey, Mike, we got to take a break real quick, okay?
Go ahead.
Get yourself a drink and everything. All right, everybody, we're going to be talking to Mike for a little while. Going to take a break here. Got things to do, but we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. We're talking to Mike Moon, and we'll be right back. Okay, I got a question to ask you here.
Okay.
You ever turn a TV on and you're trying to look for something good and you can't find it? And then you remember that an hour ago they had the program that you wanted to watch and it's not on anymore? Or maybe you're looking at the menu and you go, oh, man, I'm not even going to be home when this thing's on. Well, let me tell you what you're missing. You're missing a DVR. Why is a DVR so important? Because you can watch anything you want at any time because of the fact you can record it. And as much as the advertisers don't want to hear this, you can miss the commercials. Of course, you don't have to miss mine, but unfortunately, you get to miss theirs, on TV at least. So anyway, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Dish Network. My friends here at Dish Network, All Star Satellite, are Jim and Tim. And Jim and Tim do a great job at giving you everything you need. They have the best deals in the world. And the best way to find out is to call Jim or Tim at All Star Satellite, which the number is 417-887-6100. Now, if you don't live in the Springfield area, that's okay, because they have a network that they can contact the best people in your area. So let me give you that number again, 417-887-6100. And whatever you do, always tell them Super Dave sent you. Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you do use the people. Call them up. Ask them questions. And frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me, because then they know I'm going to come by and see them. And they don't want that. Because as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything, and I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air, because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. I think I was supposed to turn that off. Oh, this is fun. All right, we're back here at Super Dave Show. Mike, you're still on the line, I hope.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Oh, okay, we're talking to Mike Moon. He's running for 7th District Congress, Republican. And his competition really is going to be Billy Long. And just get some ideas of, you know, where Mike stands and what he, what you're going to do to win. Because you know, obviously the odds are against you and all that. And I've actually heard from people like, well, I don't think he can win, so I'm not going to contribute. And I understand that in a way, but I'm going to say this for every candidate that runs. If you don't contribute to Mike's campaign or the other people that I talk to, you're part of the problem. Because Mike can do you. I don't think Mike's a rich guy. And frankly, what we've done these days is we've left it up to rich people to run, and you can see the job they've done. Yeah, they have. They've done real well for their own pockets and their family and the rest of it. I can't tell you how many people whose friends and relatives work with the candidate one way or the other. They've got guaranteed jobs. So anyway, if you want to – what's your website, Mike?
MikeMoonForCongress.com.
MikeMoonForCongress.com. So, you know, if you believe in what he's saying and you don't like, I personally don't like the things that Billy Long has done, CISPA, NDAA, and the Patriot Act, I'm sorry, it is unconstitutional. Now, if you don't mind having an unconstitutional person representing you, then it's okay. Then don't even bother. But otherwise, Mike is the alternative, and it's up to you to do something about it. Okay, did I do good enough for you there, Mike?
You did great there, Dave. Thank you very much.
Well, I think that anybody that's running it, and how in the world are we going to change this place unless we get other people, we get people there who are going to actually change and stand up? Because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Billy Long said he was going there, he was fed up, and it was going to be different. I'm going to have Billy on the show, too, and he's got to answer to this, and I can't wait to have him on because he's got to answer to it, you know.
A guy named Harry Ladd came to Springfield over 25 years ago, and I was in a meeting that he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And that's true with just about anything. And with this, it's the same thing. If we continue to elect folks who don't stand true to the Constitution, it's never going to change.
Somebody just asked if Billy agreed to come on. I don't believe it. Billy will come on. I didn't even ask him yet, but I'm 99% sure he will. I mean, Billy is.
Well,
look, I don't have to vote for somebody who I like. I mean, that's something I can like somebody, have totally disagree with them. That's okay. And I actually get along with Billy fine. But that doesn't mean I'd rather actually have somebody I don't like. How do I put this? You know, it's like people used to ask me about someone that works for you. Would you rather have someone that's really nice and does a crappy job or someone that you really don't like that much but does spectacular work? I'll take the bad guy every day. I want somebody to do the right job.
Yeah, that's right.
Would Billy have a debate with Mike? Let's go one step at a time here. I'm going to talk to him, and you guys, actually, if I can arrange something like that, I would love to. But, you know, it's going to take a little time to get there. But, you know, that is one of the things I am looking forward to doing, and it won't be on Blog Talk. It'll be in – I would like to personally have a debate between you and Billy. I think that's the way to do it.
There are some folks asking. I asked personally Dave Steffler, one of the executive editor at the Springfield News Leader, if he'd like to set up a debate. He said, well, do you think that would be interesting to the readers of the News Leader? I said, well, yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. And another fella has been asking, and there's been no response. And so I wish you well. I hope you can get it done.
Okay, trust me on this. Billy and his people will be listening to this interview, all right?
Good.
And okay. I'm going to say up front before I ask you the question, Billy, if you really and truly believe you did the right thing, then you need to come on here with me and talk about it. Tell everybody why you did it and what we may be missing, because we may be missing something. I'm going to say anything's possible, but we want to know because nobody else does. So bottom line is there's no scripted stuff with me, believe me. Somebody just said it should be unscripted. If anybody knows me, that doesn't happen. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the Republican Party has a problem with me. But anyway, I will talk and see what I can come up with, but I would like to have a debate between you and Billy. I really would. And
I think that's it. I love it.
Well, I will gladly do what I can.
Yeah, and I want to say publicly, too, that I don't dislike Billy, but I can't tolerate the votes that he's cast and some of the answers he's given because of the way he voted. So I'd like for him to be able to answer those publicly, too. So I wish you well, Dave, in getting that done.
Well, and I'm not going to pick sides here. I mean, I may have my preference, but right now I want answers to why the votes. That's all. I am in agreement with you on that. I have a lot of problems with his votes with the three specific, actually four issues in particular, plus a bunch of other stuff. But those are the main ones that meant most to me. Honestly, if he would have voted like we thought he should have, you may not even be in the race.
Yeah. If the thing that started it for me, Dave, was back in, was it May 2011, I believe, when he voted to increase the national debt after spending nearly 2 years campaigning on the fact that you can't spend your way or borrow your way out of debt. And but he did that, and I thought, that's ridiculous. And it started the fires burning again, and some say I jumped in too late, but that was the part that compelled me to run once again.
You aren't a delegate, are you?
No.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because are you going to be at the convention this Saturday in Springfield?
It's on my plan, yes.
Okay. If Billy's there, I will talk to Billy and see what he'll do. All right?
Okay, great.
I mean, I know Billy quite well. He actually doesn't live that far from me. And you know, honestly, Billy's always been very nice to me, and, you know, and that's it. So, you know, I don't really think it's going to be a huge issue. A lot of people, you know, and I'm not there to attack anybody. You know well enough, Mike, that I'm going to ask you the questions I'm not afraid to ask. I'm not going to let you walk away from without answering. And the same thing goes with Billy, and Billy knows that. So, you know, he's just got to answer and let the people make up their minds. But bottom line is if he's done this, then, you know, he's got to answer to some of us. You know, a lot of people don't care. Let's not kid anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, okay, let's get back to the military thing we were talking about. So you kind of understand what I was talking about before, though, that – you know, the GDP thing is fine and everything, but when you have such very, 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 very high social, well, not just social, the money from, you know, the welfare program for the rich people too. I mean, they have their own rich, you know, they have their own welfare programs, but we tend to concentrate, unfortunately, on the poor people. And, you know, as time goes on, I'm having more and more problem with that, because I think that's really part of the what the Republican Party does to make sure there's a wedge between the part, you know, between the people, so they can say, I want people won't, I want people that are working, and the other one, they want them to live off of them. I mean, that's pretty much what it amounts to, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people call that compassion. And here's the way I see it, and this is Benjamin Franklin, I believe, is the one who said something like this. I may not be quoting exactly, but he said, compassion can be counterproductive when it breeds dependence and weakness, and when it blunts the desire or necessity to work for a living. And I think he was right on. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And I believe that's what we know as vote buying. People will, politicians will promise a group of people that, hey, if you elect me, this is what I'll do for you. And that's wrong.
Well, you're right. And that's how come Democrats have done so well with this.
Yeah.
But let's talk about vote buying to begin with. Most politicians are there because they make exchanges for power and money for contributions. I am 100% convinced of that. Not all, but most.
With the lobbyist.
Well, right. And see, contrary to what a lot of people do, I don't blame lobbyists. In fact, I think lobbyists are great for one reason. Because if you can't tell, if a voter can't tell that because Solyndra gave somebody all kinds of money, and you can't see that there's something going on there, then it's not about the lobbyists, it's about the idiot voters. I mean, that's bottom line. And it goes, same thing goes with Republicans too. You know, I, you know, the thing about the Wall Street crowd, so many of these people don't realize that you and I probably agree with a lot of the stuff they're talking about. But I blame the government. What, what's that?
You're talking about Occupy Wall Street?
Yes, Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, right.
I agree with a lot of what they're saying, but I blame it on the idiot, on the politicians that the corporations are playing games with and getting all the money from, and not just blaming Wall Street. I blame both.
Well, yeah, I think they're egging them on, you know, especially President Obama too, talking about rich people are evil. That's not necessarily true. And one thing I thought was funny about that, several months ago, I saw these guys protesting the evil rich guys on Wall Street. And yet, what were they using to record all this was iPhones. And so they're using a product that Steve Jobs had created, the iPhone. Steve Jobs was an extremely wealthy man, and they don't get the parallel there? Like, wow, what a paradox.
And where do they make the iPhones and the iPads? Remind our listeners where they're made. Or do you know?
I don't know.
They're made in China.
Okay.
Apple makes virtually nothing in the United States. It's all made somewhere else.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and he and Steve Jobs, but, you know, most of the people in that industry are liberals. But they live one life and, you know, you know, and they send the job somewhere else. I mean, it's just what happens. So, but where is the media in this? You know, remember when, what's the gal, Kathy Lee Gifford? Was that right? Kathy Lee Gifford, right?
Yeah, Frank's wife.
When she was connected with Kmart and supposedly they connected sweatshops with kids or something like that somewhere else. The reason is she's a conservative gal. But they have they for some reason when it comes to finding out Obama's birth certificate and all the rest of the stuff, they seem to be on vacation.
Yeah. Well, of course they're biased and have a one purpose agenda. And that's to promote socialistic tendencies. In fact, while we're on that, I'm going to chase a rabbit just for a second, but I'll get back real quick. The Democrats, not all of them, but for the majority, I think, are pushing socialistic agendas. So why don't we call them socialists? I mean, that's what they are. The majority of that party are socialists. So
I'm going to blow their name. But you know what? I think. I think a majority of the Republicans are, too.
Well, you're right. So I guess we should just call them all socialists. And that's a sad statement, David, you know. It really grieves me that we're a part of a party Do you still call yourself a Republican? You don't have to answer that.
Well, no, honestly, because Ron Paul is, yes, I am.
Okay, all right. Well, we're part of a party that, you're right, you really can't see much difference in the way they govern. When the Democrats are in power, they're bad, and the Republicans do better. When the Republicans are in power, according to the Democrats, they're doing bad, and the Republicans are doing better. So it's like they're all for the same thing, it seems, and you can't tell a whole lot of difference between them. And when you look at in our potential nominee, now I don't believe that I don't think he's a nominee yet. A lot of people are saying he is. For Romney, you're right. For Romney, you really can't tell a lot of difference in his policies from President Obama.
Well, there really is. There's very little difference. What the difference is, honestly? He's got an R next to his name. That's the only thing. But, sure. You got Romney, Kerry, you got all the rest. And I'm trying to figure out from all these Santorum people and so many of the other people, and my favorites, the Tea Party people, who I happen to get up and make speeches with, and they were all, let's lower spending, let's do all this other stuff. And then when it comes time for an election, they go, we have to watch out for those jihadists. There's one under my bed right now as we speak. I'm trying to figure out, maybe you can help me out with this, because I don't know the answer to this. Where in the Constitution does it say that we are supposed to defend Israel? And I have nothing against Israel, but where is it we're supposed to defend Israel? I don't know that answer. Maybe you do.
Well, here's one of the things that I'm still struggling with, David. And I'm not perfect, and I don't have all the answers. But I claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and I've had conversations with a lot of people who say that the Jews aren't God's chosen people any longer. There's a thing called replacement theology that people believe in, that now any believer in Jesus Christ is, in essence, they are heirs to Jesus, to God's family. They're saying that they are replacement for Israel. I haven't found in my brief study that to believe in yet. But that's where it lies. I think there's and I don't know that I can explain it all, but here's what I have been taught to believe as I've grown up in the church, is that in the Old Testament you find that Israel, of course, is God's chosen people, and it states very clearly in the Bible that those who bless Israel will be blessed. Now, here's one thing I have a contention with, and that is people think we're blessing Israel by giving them $3 billion a year in funds. Well, when we do that, are we not dictating how they use that? And I'll answer that question, yes, we are. It's used primarily for military purposes. We also, though,
give money to Palestine. Enemy,
$9 billion a year.
Right.
And so my question to my friends, and I still love them dearly, would we not be helping Israel more if we had stopped giving their friends the $9 billion and be equal here, stopped giving Israel the $3 billion? And I haven't convinced anyone yet, but the way I see it is,
I don't understand why that's hard to convince anybody.
Well, here's what I still believe. I believe God is almighty. He's still sovereign over everything in the world. And I still believe, whether it's true or not, if Israel is or is not God's chosen people, he can, if he chooses, to protect them. He can do so if he chooses to. Over the last 50 years, when America has gotten involved in daily conflicts, they have lost land. And so are we helping them as much as they could help themselves? Before that 50 years, they obliterated their enemies. And so are they better off now than they were 50 years ago? Apparently not. Are we still here, Dave? Okay, good.
Yeah,
I heard a piece of my phone.
Yeah, I'm still here. I know, and what I'm trying to understand totally is, what is the obsession that we have with Israel right now? That sounds crazy, but I don't get it. Because what is the religious affiliation of most in Israel?
Well, you're right, and that's funny. They're
Jewish.
They're terrorists. Yeah. Well, wait now, wait. I was thinking that I was looking on the other end. You're saying they're Jewish, the most affiliation. Well, if they are, then you're kind of playing into the part where those who are speaking scripturally would say that Israel is God's chosen people. So.
Well, no, but I'm saying, though, wait a minute. The Jewish people, we're going to play scripture. The Jewish people don't believe that Christ was the Son of God.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Now, okay, so if the Christians are, that's where I'm having some issues. And you know what? The other thing really gets me, too, are in with Republicans, most Jewish people vote Democrat.
Yeah, that's true. Because a lot of them are liberal.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, here, this is difficult to understand, too, because, see, God allowed Israel to go through hardships, just like the 40 years in the desert. They, in fact, right as they left Egypt, what was the first thing they did? They turned away from God. When they had Aaron collected all the gold from the people, Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, and there they are making an idol to worship. But did he turn his back on them? Not totally. At what point in time did they stop being God's chosen people? I haven't found that yet. So that's where I'm needing a little help.
Okay, well, we're getting way off subject here for where we need to go. But the only reason I bring that up is because I never understood that. And I see Beck going crazy and all that stuff within this area. And actually, that had a lot to do with Santorum picking up a lot of people because I personally believe he played religion just to get a lot of his followers. I just believe that. You know, what gets me is Dr. Paul also is a very religious person, but unfortunately he doesn't play the game. See, that was part of it. You know, and this kind of had something to do with what you said earlier. Santorum went after the religious people and figured out all the talking points that was going to make him get those people. I really and truly believe that. You know, and to me, when you start playing up to a section of the people, instead of just saying, you know what, we got this thing called the Constitution, why don't we just hang with that and let things happen as they should? Because what I see with most politicians, they're looking up to certain people, and I mean, they're looking at groups and they're going, what can we do to get those groups? I'm not saying you were, but I think that's a real issue sometimes, instead of just saying, I'm going with this. And if you don't like it, then I'm probably not the guy. Because I'm a believer that if you have this live or die attitude and say, I'm going to I'm going to do this, and if you don't like it, then that's too bad. Then I think most people, I think you do better if you have that, you know, if that makes sense. So.
Well, if you'll remember during the 2010 campaign, I came out right at the start saying that I was a believer in Jesus Christ. Some people thought I was trying to win votes, but that's just who I am. I've been a believer since I was 11 years old, and you know, I'm not doing that to ram it down someone's throat. In fact, if you ask my friends, they'll say, no, he's never tried to force me to believe in something that he believes in. But that's just a part of who I am, and so I came out and said, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and some people came out and said, you shouldn't do that because you'll lose votes even. And some people said, you ought not do that because religion has no place in politics. But so be it.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan did it perfectly. He lived it, but he didn't profess it all the time. And he just said, this is what I am, and we'll go on from there, and didn't say much about it. And for me, that was perfect because, you know, right now, what do we have?
Yeah.
You know, in the debates, I got to listen to Santorum and Bachman and a lot of the rest of them play war. And I'm trying to figure out where these Christians are that can't wait to go over to the Muslim countries and kill Muslims. When in reality, you know, I mean, that's what it is, because I come up with the phrase, you know, let's go kill some Muslims right after church. But they accuse Muslims of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm having issues with this whole religion thing, because I thought religion was supposed to be about love and trying to work things out instead of saying, let's go blow the hell out of them. You know, I just don't get it. So I went to a parochial school and church, and I was taught something totally different.
Well, we're talking two different cultures here, and two different 2,000 years ago, or better, much better than 2,000 years ago. You have King David of the Bible, who before he was a king was a shepherd, and he took five smooth stones, and one of them he embedded in the forehead of a giant, and because he was defying his God. And the same David was a man of war. That's why God wouldn't let him build his temple. He said, no, right. Well, let your son do that. So, you know, we have a God who is just, and part of that justice is what we would consider violence. And I'm not saying that Michelle Bachmann or Rick Santorum or whoever else was in that discussion you were talking about was doing it from the right angle. But let's go back to what you said and that you pointed out correctly earlier. Let's go back to the Constitution to determine when we can go to war. And that time, well, if someone attacks us, then that's probably a just reason, but it's still got to be declared by the Congress. And so I think that therein lies our answer. We have to base everything in our government on the Constitution. It's well written. It was a genius document.
Absolutely. And why not use it? It's the longest-standing constitution in the history of the world, from what I understand. And it's done a pretty good job, and then all of a sudden it doesn't, you know, it's a living, breathing document we're supposed to play with. And it seems like almost every time we've done something with it, it hasn't done anything to improve what, you know, prohibition, you know, all these other things. And we'll get into something else in a minute here. Can you hang on a little bit longer?
Oh, you betcha.
It's only fair. I mean, you know, I think because a lot of people listen to these shows and they archive them, like I said, and it's really great because then they get to find out who Mike Moon is and who the other people are. And frankly, I think when doing it in 5 minutes doesn't do it. I think you really get to know who you guys are because, you know, honestly, you know, if I'm going to vote for Mike Moon, I want to find out where I agree with him, where I disagree with him, and it's going to happen. You're going to disagree. Too many voters are one-issue voters, and they're going to go, well, he believes in this, the hell with him, you know. And that goes with abortion and so many other things. And I'm pro-life, however. It's just a pro-life guy who believes in just spending everyone else's money and all that. But then you got an abortion guy who says something else. I'm going to do everything I can to try to get the abortion guy to do some things differently or something like that. Because you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does, and you talked about agreeing and disagreeing, and of course, I'm not going to go into detail unless you want to, but we haven't agreed on everything, and
I'll get you
in
there.
In fact, we have disagreed quite a bit, and in fact, we might have, I'm sure I have my feathers ruffled, you might not have had yours ruffled, but it took me some time, but as I thought through it, I can come back to what perhaps is center, but I'd be the first one to tell you I'm not perfect, and I don't have all the answers, and that's one of the things, though, that I believe wholeheartedly with being a representative. You don't have to have all the answers because you're supposed to be the representative of the people, and you're supposed to ask the people what they want to have done, and of course, one answer may not be the right thing. But you have to put all those together, and again, if it lines up with the Constitution, you can get it done. But I think, though, that...
Well, when Ronald Reagan was president, the one thing that I heard from many Democrats was that, you know what, I don't like everything he stands for, but at least I know he's consistent, and he's not going to be changing every other day just to accommodate someone. You know, having that consistency is everything. Now, I didn't agree with every single thing Ronald Reagan did either, but, you know, it was about the consistency, and you're not going to get perfection anyway. You know, especially the second term, I had some issues with what he had. And honestly, so did Dr. Paul. So, you know, it wasn't the only person. I think there were other issues going on that I'm not going to get into. But anyway, you understand my point. Hey, let's take another break. But if you heard me earlier, I got a little studio in my place here, and the door was locked on the out, and I couldn't get out. So it was weird. It was like, uh-oh. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Listen, you know, I tell people, listen to the commercials because these are good people, and use these people. If there's anything you need, please use them. Actually, we got a couple of new people coming on here real soon. It's really cool. People are wanting to join in, be part of the show, and part of what we're trying to accomplish. So we'll be back in a few minutes with Mike Moon, if that's okay, Mike, right?
Yeah, that's great. And this battery's low, so I'm going to call in on another phone. And
okay.
Hopefully there won't be reverb when we get back.
Don't screw it up, dude. Okay. All right. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you do use the people. Call them up. Ask them questions. And frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me, because then they know I'm going to come by and see them. And they don't want that. Because as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything, and I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air, because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. Alrighty, let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. Alright, you know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. The guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668, and what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge double, and I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission. All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show, and let's see if we're talking to Mike Moon. Let's see if his phone works this time. Mike Moon is running for...
Yes,
yep, okay, say something real quick, and then we'll let the people let us know if it's working.
All right.
Tell us how wonderful you're going to be. Tell us how wonderful you're going to be when you go on, get in office.
Oh, I don't know if I'll be wonderful. In fact, I think if the news media picks up, they'll say, who was this guy who was talking about everything and whether or not it's going to be constitutional or not? So I don't think I'm going to be a party favorite for sure.
Well, I'm convinced the party doesn't care about the Constitution. You know, I tell you what, they don't care about vote fraud either. You know, it's funny because you and I and many of the other people that are listening right now got to listen to all the voter fraud issues when it came to the Democrat Party. And now when we get to these conventions and these, you know, all the state issues with the Republican Party, we are finding out that they are just as bad, if not worse, because they are doing everything they can to control this voting process. It irritates me. And by the way, it's working, according to the people. So, I mean, have you noticed that too, by the way? Let me ask you about the local Republican Party. How have they treated you?
Well, you know, when we talk, I still have, I guess, a fairly good rapport. I can talk to people, and they're not blatantly disrespectful. However, I know that they're not for me. And let me start back to the day that I filed. I was up in Jefferson City. I went by the Republican headquarters because you have to pay your filing fee there.
Right.
And I asked for the voter vault. And for those of the listeners who don't know what that is, it's just a list of all the voters in the district, whether they're Republican or Democrat or independent. If they voted in the last elections, you can tell that, gives phone numbers and addresses. So you can plan out strategies for walking neighborhoods or sending letters and all sorts of things. It can be a great asset. Well, the lady who took my money said, well, which district are you running? I said, the 7th. She said, oh, you're running against Billy Long. But yes. She said, well, you can't have the list. And I looked at her and I said, so you're trying to protect the party, aren't you? And that was the end of the conversation. She wouldn't say anything more about it. So I contacted Lloyd Smith, the party head in Jefferson City. He's the state party head, and there was no response. So I don't have access to the voter vault, and that was a big blow, I thought.
Whoa, you still don't have that?
No. No, they won't. You rent it. It costs $100, and of course, when we were all going for an open seat, you could get it if you wanted it. But I still don't have it. They're not going to give me access to it.
I want you to do me a favor. You will. I want you to send me the info, and I want to talk to them, and I want to see if I can get them on the air.
Okay.
Because I think that is it their Republican Party? That's why a lot of people are really ticked off right now, because of this, what happens here. Sorry, Mike, I don't mean to go off, but this is insane.
Well, here's what I did as a result. After I contacted Lloyd Smith, didn't have success there, I called the Federal Election Commission and gave them the scenario and asked what my options were. And they said, well, the voter vault is an asset of the party.
Right.
And they can do with it whatever they wish. And
right.
So I'm stuck. I don't fault them for it. But
well,
I think that's the wrong way to go.
This is where I think we're in campaigns. You have to, if you don't let people know what's going on, you know, because people have a lot of rebel in them. I mean, I was born a rebel. But if you tell them, by the way, they're protecting it for him. They're not allowing anybody else. Do you think, is that the Republican Party you want? What if that's you? Then all of a sudden it becomes more personal.
It's
Did you have that
right.
problem last time, by the way, when you filed?
No. I was able to get the voter vault then. And the reason they give is because it was an open seat. They're not playing favorites. But this time they are. Now, if they want to perpetuate someone in office who has voted against the Constitution on several occasions, I have a real problem with that. And that's what's at issue with me. So, anyway.
Well, people have asked me why I have why I'm so adamantly hard on the Republican Party. It's because I have voted Republican my whole life, you know, ever since I could vote. And when I watch this part of the party of Reagan go to what it is now, I'm disgusted by it. So when you asked earlier if I'm a Republican, it's real difficult to say I am, because I don't like to associate myself with criminals. You know, with people who are disgusting animals to me. I mean, that's what they become. And we're like somebody just said on the board there, we're going to find out next week, you know, when this weekend when we have the state convention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you need I think you need to let that out. Go to the news later and say, they won't let me do this or whatever. But this is something I think it needs to be out there, the Republican Party.
Well, you're right, and I probably should have done that earlier, but I guess since I thought I'd gone through the channels and they have the right to withhold it, even though it might not be the right decision, then they do. But I think that's a good strategy you've laid out there, too.
I
had a thought, but I don't know what it was. So if you've got something else you want to add,
I'm going to have to teach you about the media and how to get the media attention, because it can't, you know, once the media gets in there, then it kind of forces other things. That's the whole purpose of what the First Amendment was, is to clean this stuff up, or at least let people know what it was.
Yeah. Well, in the words of Ross Perot several years ago, I'm all ears. So I'll listen to that. I said, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
Was that not a Ross Perot voice or what?
I'm not going to go there. Okay. All right. So you get screwed up in Jefferson City because they won't do that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, that to me, that's big news. It really is big news and something that should be out there because people don't like cheaters. And let me ask you this. Have you contacted David Cole, who is the head of the Republican Party in Missouri?
No, I haven't. No, I did. I would just leave it at that. No, I haven't.
I would be doing that. And if he doesn't do it, say, well, I'll go to the press and do that. Because they don't want bad press. You know, right now, what the Republican Party has done this year, which has been somewhat masterful, by the way, I guess they're learning from the Democrats, just be disgusting. And that is that we'll start it out by saying, Ron Paul can't win. Ron Paul is a nut job. I mean, they put those things out there, and then, you know, the idiots just go through it and go, yeah, Ron Paul's a nut job. Why is that? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's happened. And so, you know, right now it's Ron Paul can't win, and they are scared out of their minds right now over the delegate thing, and that's why they're cheating. So if the Republicans want to cheat, is that a party I want to be a part of?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
the hard
the
part
answer
for
is
me.
No. Yeah, the answer is no.
Right.
Now, here's part of the other factors that were the things that factor in with that decision. I know I'm not the party pick, and that's okay with by me. But they're trying to protect Billy for whatever reasons, and I think the reasons they're wanting to protect him is because he's gone along with what they wanted him to do all the way.
Absolutely. He votes their way.
Yeah, and I think they know by now that I'm not a go-along-to-get-along guy. And so they better well be working hard to get Billy reelected and not me, because they're going to have a wake-up call if Mike Moon is the elected representative for Missouri's 7th Congressional District, and they won't like it. So,
all right, I want to ask you a question.
So why should I reach out to them in the first place?
Right.
Not every one of them that way. I have to give credit where credit's due. They're not all that way. But
no, they're not, but a lot of them just go along. 4 years ago, do you think that McCain ran a very good campaign?
Nope.
And one of the reasons he didn't is because of what? He wouldn't go after Obama, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. You know, it's about comparisons. And if you don't go after those people and you don't bring some fire out there, then people aren't going to notice. But if you start bringing fire out there, they will notice. You may, if you do it right, you may have a bunch of Democrats who would vote for you instead of, you know, to just get Billy out of there. Because a lot of, you know, if you're constitutional, at least they can't argue. Democrats can't argue. The ones in this area won't argue with constitutionals much.
Oh, well, get this, though. Some people working with us asked the Democrats if they would cross over and vote in the primary for me. And they said, no, he's too biblical and too constitutional. And I thought, good grief, those are two tenets of my campaign platform that I can't budge on at all. I was really surprised about the constitutional part. That blew me away. So how do you combat that?
I think there's a few. I think there's a lot of people who will vote another way just so they don't have Billy Long in there and other things. You know, as I always tell people, you got to know who the voters are. And if you don't know who the voters are, you can't get their votes. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is. And frankly, most voters aren't the people listening today. I mean, the majority of voters are not listening to this show. They're not listening to O'Reilly. They're not listening to any of those things. September is when it counts. Unfortunately, the primary is in August, and that's when you have to get them going. So one way or another, you got to wake up some primary voters, and that's going to be the hard part.
Yes, and we found that already.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when you bring up God that, you know, but you know, I will, you know, what I try to do is I look at successes. And I think the more, you know, remember Santorum used the Bible a lot. And I'm a spiritual person, but when I hear people, and I think this is what maybe they're saying when you use those things that they think you may be doing something else, and I would say copy Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan didn't use it much. He just didn't. He didn't get into the religious thing. That was a personal thing, and that was it. That would be, if I was your campaign manager, I would tell you that in a heartbeat. But, you know,
well, I consulted with someone before I announced my campaign run, and he mentioned something that kind of goes along with what you're saying, and I think Ronald Reagan did it pretty well, too. And he said, just weave your testimony throughout your speeches, when you're giving speeches, and not come out and say it blatantly. And, you know, he's probably right, because a lot of people do take offense when you come right out and say it, but at the same time, you can, as you said, live it and speak of how God's working in your life and things like that, and it doesn't come across as something that, well, he's using religion to gain votes. So I have mellowed a little bit in that, but I still am a strong believer, and
there's nothing wrong with that. So was Ronald Reagan. Yeah. But, you know, and frankly, let's be fair about it. You're not running to quote scripture. You're not there to do any of those things. You're there to uphold the Constitution. And you can be a religious person deep down, but, you know, and that's where I understand it totally. I mean, it is with me, I should say. I think a lot of people, because they don't want, you know, they don't want religion. I mean, this is a little different, but do you want a Muslim to get out there and start pushing, you know, Sharia law or something like that? You know, I think, you know, it's not the same thing, but it's kind of on the same basis, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. And here's one thing. This isn't exactly where you're going, but I think I'd like to say it just briefly here. Some people say that religion has no place in politics because they don't want someone who believes in God or the Bible to be making policy. Well, let's look at the other side of that. Let's say that someone is an agnostic or an atheist. Don't you think that at some point in time, their deep down beliefs are going to be used to form their thoughts and opinions on things? So whether you're a believer in Christ or a believer in Buddha or Muhammad or whoever you are, your fundamental beliefs are actually going to be surfaced at some point or another. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I'm biased here, of course, but I would rather have someone who believes in the truth of Scripture to be writing policy and governing than those who...
Well, but when I hear you say that, Mike, I want to be real honest. Yeah. When I hear you say that, though, it sounds like you're going to be looking at the Bible. I mean, you know, it's about perception. The world is about perception. And when you say that, I hear someone that says, I'm going to be going to the Bible first and see what the Bible tells me to do. And that, I think, is where people are going to have an issue. And
well, see, that's what you heard, but that's not what I said.
No. You understand. It's about perception.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I understand.
Remember who voted Obama in. Remember who voted Billy Long in. There, it's about perception. It's not about reality, you know. And they will take something, and if you got the right press or something like that, they'll run with it. And then you're backtracking and saying, no, that isn't what I'm doing. And all I'm saying is, if you don't put yourself in that position, then you won't have that issue. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, I hope you understand.
So point well taken. Yeah, I understand.
And people will all of a sudden start saying, you're anti-religion. Far from it. Actually, I am kind of anti-religion to some extent. I'm a spiritual person. And when religion gets in the way I've just had some real issues with religion itself lately. As a lot of my listeners know here, I tell people I kind of skip the middleman and go straight to the top, because I find that a lot of these things that they come up with, the different religions, I think are a little bizarre. I really do.
Okay, well,
why
you
can't
made a statement.
You on
you
Friday?
Made a statement here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, why can't you eat meat on Fridays? You know, okay, fine, you're going to do it. But one religion comes up with that, and another religion comes up with something else. Another one says, if you're not baptized, then you're going to go to hell. I mean, you know, come on. You know.
Well, you made a statement there that I want to just make one brief statement about and point.
Sure.
You talked about going right from the top, and I guess what I understand you saying, what I hear you saying, is you leave off the middleman and go straight to God when you pray and worship. Is that correct?
Yes, but that's something I keep to myself.
Okay, so here's what I want to say about that. I've used the word religion in our conversation earlier today, and really it's not religion. For me, it's relationship, and it's a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and I hope that's what you're saying too, but what it is for me is not a
set of rules.
It
really doesn't matter, though, Mike. It shouldn't matter to you. You know what I mean? It's a personal issue I have. You know, the one thing I have a problem with religion is that, and I'm not saying you, so don't take it that way, but I see people trying to tell other people, I hope this is the way you're thinking. Well, you know, that let me think and just leave me alone. And that's where I am with it. And because there's almost like there's a judgment in there. And I'm not saying you're doing that, but when I hear that, it kind of comes out that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the part, I want to go back to that relationship thing again, and I wasn't trying to say anything against what you were saying, because if I heard right, you probably are believing the same way I am there, where if a particular faith, a church, if you want to call it that, whether it's Catholic or Baptist or, you know, whatever, Lutheran, they have a certain doctrine that they follow. Apparently, or supposedly, they all came from the same Bible, and we've had men interpret things differently. And ultimately, in the end, what's most important is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that can be proven scripturally. So we don't have to belabor that point, but that's just what I believe. And that's why I call it a relationship.
But see, and I understand that. But, I mean, on a political basis, I mean for me, when I hear certain things, it's like, you know, there's a time and place. And honestly, even Ronald Reagan didn't go there. It's like, look, this is my business. This is personal. I'm going to leave it there. This is what I do. Done. And said so little about it. And if I was advising you, I would say, you know, it's wonderful you have that relationship. It is. But, you know, that's my opinion. You can do what you want with it. That's all. You know,
okay.
I get in trouble for today. Yeah, let me ask you about the fare tax. Somebody brought it up. Thank you very much.
Okay.
What do you like about the fare tax or don't like about it?
Well, I like the fare tax because it's a tax plan that is simple, it's fair, and it's transparent. And it first taxes only new goods and services. And if you buy something used, you're not going to get a tax. It's one of the only loopholes it has is that it's not going to tax business-to-business transactions. So, for example, if some farmers have told me that they're against it because they think that they buy a tractor, they're going to pay tax on the tractor. But that's not the case. A farm supply company selling a tractor to a farmer is a business-to-business transaction, so no tax. And so the beauty of that is, the end user is the one who pays the tax, and all these embedded taxes will be gone away. It's not a value-added tax or anything like that, so you're not going to have all these added tax on each process of the production.
I'm a fair tax fan, too. The biggest problem is it's demagogued so easily because most people wouldn't have a clue about business to save their life. They actually think we need to raise the capital gains tax, you know, not realizing our corporate tax. That's my favorite one, corporate tax. And this is something Republicans do, by the way. I heard Rasmussen talk about it the other day. Republicans play this game of, well, 50-some percent of the people don't pay income tax. You know, I'm not going with a lot of that stuff because when you pay corporate tax when you buy things, you're actually paying that tax. I mean, so, you know,
they
play that game. You know, it's really ridiculous. One other question here. Well, go ahead.
Is that it on the fair tax? Man, that was too easy. For those, just real quick, for those listeners who haven't looked at the fair tax before, it allows you to keep 100% of your paycheck. There's no pension.
Federal,
not
on a state basis.
Yeah, on
the state
federal,
has income tax or whatever is different.
Right.
Yeah.
No more filling out, again, federal, no filling out the federal forms.
Right, no FICA, Social Security.
Yep, and the beauty of it is, and people don't understand this, but if you want to limit federal income going to the government, you can buy used. It doesn't take a long time, but when that income source dries up, I think you can get the attention of some of these policymakers. Also, the black market. People are going to buy things in the black market, and there's no incentive for them anymore. And they've been escaping all these taxes before. So I think that's another beautiful part. Now, the fair tax was introduced, I believe, first in 1999. Hadn't gone anywhere. H.R. 25 was the House bill still sitting there. And, you know, I don't know that it's going to be pushed on the federal level. So I kind of like what Herman Cain has brought out, the 999 plan, which is he's using it as a bridge to the fair tax. I think it has some merit, 9% sales tax and 9% income tax and 9% corporate tax. One thing that really got me about that was thought corporate tax, just like you, I don't think there ought to be one, but it's 35% today, 9%. Is a great reduction. So why not start there and then bridge that to a fair tax?
We have the highest corporate tax in the world right now.
It's crazy. It's no wonder they're losing our soil and going overseas.
Exactly. Why would you have a business here and pay 39%? It goes 35 to 39 in that area. Yeah. Why would you pay 39% tax when you could just move over to somewhere else and not pay any or pay a very small amount? I mean, come on, you're trying to stay in business.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. And just think of all the jobs that would produce to have them coming back to the States.
Exactly right.
There's an estimate in the 999 plan that there'd be about 6 million jobs produced. So, I think that's something that needs to be looked at.
I got to tell you, when I hear all these estimates of these things, they come from fantasy land as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? But we're not producing jobs with the tax code we have now.
No, we lose jobs. You know, and somebody else brought this up, which is near and dear to my heart, 17th Amendment.
Oh, baby. The way that we elect
our... I'll explain what it is first for those that don't know. That amendment. Well, go ahead. You tell them. Let's see if you know what it is.
Yeah, it's the way we elect our senators. I think it was back in 1913. Beyond that, I could be off a little bit on the dates, but the senators used to be appointed by the state legislatures, and of course there was some things going on, some crookedness and corruption where. There were some deals made on who would get elected and who wasn't. And, in fact, there were some states that didn't have senatorial representation in the government. And so the 17th Amendment changed that and just turned it back into a popular election. And the date was 1913, April 8th, 1913. And what that did was, let's take Missouri, for example. We've got about 6 million people in the state. And let me compare with the representation that a congressional representative will make or will have to be responsible for. In the new election, it's going to be about 720,000 people. One person representing 720,000 people, that's a lot of folks. A senator, on the other hand, is about 6 million in Missouri. You've got two of them, of course, but they're equally responsible.
Right.
There's no way in the world you can represent someone. And also, the state has lost its voice in Washington.
Well, the legislature has no voice in Washington then. And one of the problems is that they end up becoming super congressmen. It's a joke. Look, I interviewed Jim Talent, I like Jim. He's a nice guy. But he changed his mind. He actually thinks they should leave it the way it is now, too. And by the way, Mr. Roy Blunt, I hope you're listening, we all know that you want to keep it the way it is, too, which is terrible. But that's what's happened. So I guess we need to ask Billy Long that, too.
We can hold our state legislature much more accountable than we can 6 million people. So I believe in repeal of the 17th.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm with you all the way on it. And it just and anyone that says it, and somebody brought up the fact Sarah Steelman is not in favor of it, which she will be on my show, and I cannot wait to ask her about that one. Because don't tell me your Tea Party and then turn around and say you don't want to do that. Because actually, the Tea Parties, the repeal of the 17th Amendment was one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you're probably aware there's a Tea Party down in Branson. There's two of them, but one of them is a front for the Republican Party.
Yes, I'm aware.
Yes, they like those traditional Republicans that will do anything they can to keep the power. And by the way, you know, for those of you out there that think the power in, you know, the Republicans up there, remember, it was the same Republicans that passed prescription pill welfare. It's so many Republicans passed, and I hear this all the time, cash for clunkers. Man, you don't know how many people I've talked to in the last year that would like to beat the hell out of people that voted for that.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Oh, well, it is. Well, okay, so Billy Long is listening to this. He goes, all right, what's this clown going to say? I want you to tell Billy when he listens to this, this is why I'm going to get your job. Floor is open. Tell, act like you're talking to Billy.
Well, first of all, Billy, I like you as a person, but as I stated before, I don't like the stance you've taken on the votes that you've taken against the Constitution. One thing that really got my gall, sir, and you heard this in the Jasper Newton County speech, at least I hope you heard it. If not, let me know and I'll send you a copy of the video, where you stated during the two-year election that you didn't like Nancy Pelosi. And you stated several times how she pointed out that we had to pass Obamacare so we'd know what was in it. And you reasoned that you would read the bills. And I agreed. I think a legislator ought to read every single bill before they vote on it. Well, do you remember H.R. 607, sir? That's the bill that the only reason you voted for, co-sponsored the bill, was because Peter King, the chair of the committee, the Homeland Security Committee that you sat on, asked you to. That was the one, sir, that was going to sell off bandwidth that the ham radio operators used, and you didn't know it was in the bill until you were confronted in Springfield by a group of hammers. So you let us all down. We need a constitutional conservative to represent us, one who will vote with the Constitution in mind, someone who is for small, limited government and the elimination of unnecessary government agencies. We need someone who's for reduced taxes, for state sovereignty. Of course, that's the 10th Amendment. Oh, yeah, by the way, Billy, when you first got there, I chuckled at an interview you gave when you said you'd wrote the Constitution hard and put it away wet, a Constitution that I never saw you pull out of your pocket at any time during the two-year campaign. And I recall that you owned horses. Well, you know what happens to a horse that you ride hard and put away wet, sir?
It gets sick. The thought just hit me.
And they may die.
He peed on it.
You've got all these one-liners and cliches, and bless your heart for it. But you have no depth, sir. So I want to meet you face-to-face on a stage. Let's just, you and me, let's go to it. And you have no reason to be afraid of me. I'm just a little old punk kid. Well, 53-year-old punk kid, that is. And we've talked before. I like you as a person. I just don't like your policy making. And so, man up, sir. Accept the challenges that are being thrown out there, and let's talk.
Okay, Mike. Hey, well, you know,
okay,
and I'm
sorry. I should have been more respectful, but I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But when you said it was wet, I mean, when you vote for the things you did, as far as I'm concerned, you peed on the Constitution. That's what it seems like to me. I personally, and I want Billy to hear this, I'm livid about the fact you did this, and I'm sure you have a good reason for it. So when you come on my show, be prepared, because I will ask you that question. And I, too, like Billy. I mean, Billy's always been very nice, like I said, but that's enough of a love affair here. It's about the Constitution. It's about the country. Isn't that what it's all about? By the way, question for you. The UN introduced the Convention on the Law of the Sea in 1982 to establish a comprehensive framework governing uses of the ocean and the seabed mining provisions. Are you familiar with that?
Well, is that the one that was recently passed? Yes. And I know I've read it, and, you know, I don't think that I've digested all that. But if you can explain it to me, I can probably give you a nutshell.
You know what? I'm going to – Ronnie, I don't know enough about it. You know, and it's because we all have those things that one may know, the other may not know. So we'll talk about it another time, because I'm sure you'll come back on again, won't you?
Yeah. Oh, I'd be glad to. If that's Ronnie White, forgive me, for not being up on that one. But I vaguely – recall that, but I don't know enough about it to state anything that would be worthwhile.
Well, you know, Ronnie's a show-off. He knows all these facts, and, you know, he just likes to throw them out there so everybody knows.
He's
no,
one
he's,
smart man up. Yeah, and he's up on the IB program, which is it's another thing that we've got to be careful of. And it's he's fighting it harder in Ozark, and I know it's in Central High School. And we talk to people who have children enrolled and even teachers who see nothing wrong with it. So we're all being duped, and not all of us, but we need to have that stopped. We've had states, I think Kansas is one, and New Hampshire was another, I believe, that their state legislature have introduced bills to disallow it from coming into the state. And
basically, and you know, for those of you who aren't familiar with the IB, it's International Baccalaureate Program, and you need to look it up. And I can't remember, I'm sure he'll give me the link on there, but there's a link that if you look it up, you're going to say, what are they doing in our schools? In fact, I'm going to bring something up. You homeschool your children, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In St. Louis, over the weekend, they had an article in the paper about Todd Akin, who homeschools his kids. And
uh-huh.
Of course, I homeschool my daughter, and we have that in common. And what's really funny is when you get these people who think that you and I raise these children who are unsociable, you know, it just amazes me. And the one thing, I got to put this out there because you can probably relate to this. When we first thought about homeschooling, people would come to my business in the Southwest Missouri area, and their kids would be with them. And the kids were intelligent and very social, and they talked to you like you're human. You know, it wasn't anything like that. They actually talked to you, and it was really cool. And we were thinking about it, and those are the reasons why we did it, because we saw very wonderful kids. And your kids are wonderful. I've met your kids, and they're great. What do you say to these people that happen to think, for some reason, that homeschool kids are unsociable and obviously, you know, they read the Bible 6 hours a day or something. I don't know, all this silliness. Perception, by the way, perception.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank you for the compliment. I really am proud of all our children. And Denise has done the majority of the work in teaching and training the kids with the schooling, and I certainly appreciate her for that. One of the first comments was that of sociability and their social training. And I really was taken aback initially because our first daughter was about six, our first year that we decided to do this, and I was a little bit concerned. But then I realized that, well, ultimately she had four other siblings, plus Denise and myself, to interact with. And then our church family, we have hundreds of kids that they associate with, and there were neighborhood kids and things like that. And so I really didn't put a lot of thought into it after that until someone mentioned to me, my daughter had gone someplace with us, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but they said, you know, that's really strange. Your daughter, who at that time was about 8 or 9, can carry on a conversation with adults.
Right.
And I thought, wow. It wasn't planned, but it was just a byproduct. And there has never been a problem with social adaptability. Now, of course, some kids in our family are more shy than others. Some are more outgoing than others. But that's just personality.
And I'm going to say this, too. I'm going to say this, too. You're right. Because they bring that up. It's like, well, I know some kids and they're really not very sociable. And I was like, are you saying that in schools every child in there is really real social? Are there some other some kids in school that aren't very social with others? Well, yeah. You know, but they for some reason don't get the concept that it's the personalities of each individual child.
You bet. Yeah.
You know, and you're right. By the way, one of the times when we first started doing this, we moved to Nixa, which is right outside of Springfield. You know that. And when we brought our daughter, we were walking around, and I know some people have heard this story. A teacher came to the door. My wife was going around introducing us, you know, to the neighborhood. And a teacher came to the door, and she said, "What grade are you in?" And my daughter, you know, she didn't say much. You know, she didn't know how to answer that because she wasn't in a grade yet. And my wife said, "Well, we're going to go ahead and homeschool." And the teacher looked at her and said, well, that's nice, but, you know, it's really important they go to school because, you know, they need to learn how to, you ready for this? Wait in line. That was the answer. And I did, which my wife came home and told me, and I said, well, you're right, though, because when we go in line, homeschool kids go in line, they just kind of bust through the front. The hell with the line. We, you know, that was the reason for saying it. And if you think about it, it's really kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. I have to give credit where credit is due here. I mentioned my oldest daughter was about 6 when we started. When she was about 5 or so, we were concerned because she's petite, still is. And I think she adapted to a lot of different things. But we had a parents' as teacher come in, and I'll tell her first name. Her name is Judy. I just saw her this past weekend. And we asked her, Judy, what would you suggest we do with Amanda? And because we had kind of contemplated whether or not we'd hold her out and or send her to school with the other kids her age. And we had found some studies that showed that some kids who are held back when they're put in the school system will actually catch up to their peers and then surpass them pretty quickly. And so based on her encouragement and some other information we found, that's what we chose to do. We just thought we'd just teach her at home that kindergarten year, which we weren't going to lose anything anyway. And so I really think a lot of Judy and others who have the same mindset as she has to not go with whatever society is pushing.
Well, no.
And frankly, it was a good decision.
A lot of the classes they make you take are insane. You know, I took 2 years of Spanish because I needed a particular credit for something. I couldn't have cared less about Spanish, but I had to take this, and I think of all the different classes I had to take. English literature, I hated English literature, and I don't care if you paid me, I hated it. Somebody else would love it, that's wonderful. Now, I was weird. I was a math major. I mean, I could do anything in math more than most. And,
Yeah. You
know, that's what I excelled at, and I think we're all wired differently. And then maybe in time other things may happen. But I think these one-size-fits-all attitude just doesn't cut it for me. You know.
Yeah.
By the way, the website, I want to make sure we get this out. The website for the IB program to learn what IB is truthaboutib.com. Really,
yeah.
Really important you go see that, because when you start reading what it's really all about, it's going to make you mad. Unfortunately, though, most people have their heads in the wrong places, and how they can see when they're walking, I don't know. I'm so nice about that. And they have to understand that if we don't do something about this, it's like voting. If you don't put people in who are going to do the right thing, it's the voters' fault. It's not, you know,
yeah.
I'll say this about Billy Long. They, you know, we can blame Billy Long all we want, but it was the voters that put him there. And if the voters continue to put him there and bitch and moan about it, it's the voters' fault.
Sure.
They know who he is
you're
now.
Exactly
he has
right.
a record.
Well, you're exactly right.
Okay. Well, listen, Mike, we've drugged this on for a long time. I appreciate you coming on, man. And let's get the website out again. I actually have one more question. I don't know if we have enough time for it. You know, we got a little bit of time. I'm going to ask you quickly about something I asked Cynthia Davis. All right?
All righty. Okay.
Ron Paul is a fan of the fact that that states should be allowed to regulate whether they want to have allow drugs legally illegal. You know, that would be marijuana, whatever. And the federal government should get out of it. The drug war has to stop, kind of like prohibition. Where are you standing with that?
Well, what does Article 1, Section 8 say? And what does the 10th Amendment say? First, you have to look in the Article 1, Section 8 to see whether or not the Congress has the authority to make a law and regulate whatever you're talking about. And of course, you're talking about drugs and things like that. I don't think you'll find it there. Now, that'll probably pique a lot of people's interest and perk their ears up, because they'll say, wait a minute, you've got to regulate those things. Well, if you think about it, the federal government has for years tried to, well, they declared a war on drugs But hey, we did declare war.
And we lost
the war on drugs. Yeah, and they're losing.
And there's more drug use now than there was back when they declared the war.
Yeah. Now, I have to be extremely clear here. I'm not a drug user, and I don't advocate using illegal drugs. However, how can you control a little bit more closely and really better drugs or welfare or whatever it is if at the local level? And so you look at Article 1, Section 8 and find that the federal government has no authority to regulate or make law for that. But then you look at the 10th Amendment, and it says that anything not specifically given to the government, I'm not talking this verbatim, but it not prohibited by the state, should be given over to the states. And so this is one area to which I think we really need to take a long, hard look to see whether or not, well, not whether or not, but consider giving the states the authority to set their policies on all those issues that we cannot regulate from the federal level.
Right. Okay.
There are many of them.
You answer my question, because if you believe in liberty, you know, freedom isn't always comfortable. That's bottom line. And sometimes there's going to be things out there. As long as it doesn't affect somebody else, you know, it's up to the state. That's bottom line, like I think a lot of things are.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mike, I got a few minutes left here. I got to get going. But I want to thank you for coming on, and I look forward to talking again. And, you know, last word.
Well, Dave, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. And I welcome contact from the listeners. Call me at 417-751-0243. Look me up on Facebook by the name Mike Moon for Congress, or look up MikeMoonForCongress.com and send me a message or give me a call. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right. That's Mike Moon running for Congress, 7th District. We'll take a quick break. We only got a few minutes left. 323-784-9620. If you like, got something quickly to say, this will be a short break. Okay, let me tell you what I do for my day job now. I work for a company called H&H Industries, and the only thing we do is fabulous lighting. Now, that can be the bulbs, the lamps, the fixtures, everything, but the point of it is we sell quality, and it's something that's going to last you a long time. It's not this garbage you buy at Home Depot. No offense, Home Depot, but they're there to sell you as many lights as they can, and I don't think they really care that much if you have to buy twice as much, because generally if you see the big difference, you'll see that many times you'll have to buy twice as many fixtures and have twice the light bill if you buy garbage lighting compared to good lighting. So why don't you give me a call? I can stop by your office, warehouse, shop, whatever, and I can give you an idea what it's going to take to make your place that much better. The number is 417-770-6301. I promise you, you're going to be glad you did. That number again, 417-770-6301. All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. Just got a few minutes left. I want to thank Mike for coming on. That's really great. I really appreciate that. Tomorrow's going to be a little different show, and we're going to have another candidate running for – he's running for in the 8th District. And I think it's important we listen to all these people, find out who's good and who isn't. And I met him at a conference I went to once, and he wants to come on his show. And I said, absolutely, because I think we need to find out who these people are. There's a lot of people out there who run for office, and my experience is most of these people should not even know how to get to Jefferson City or Washington, D.C. They shouldn't have a clue how to get there. And unfortunately, they do, and most of them are political whores. They just are. Great quote. I thank you, Clay. I appreciate that. Federalist 45, the power of the federal government is limited, but the power of the states is infinite. And that's by James Madison. That's a great quote, and I hope a lot of people understand that, and that's what it's all about. And I got to tell you, I give Mike kudos, because he has come around a lot, and it's not to get votes. I think when I mentioned, you know, that you've got, I don't agree with a lot of what you're saying, he didn't change it to do it. I think he actually looked at it because, look, many of us have evolved. We've been in a position where we we think we have all the answers or most of the answers. And then when we start backtracking and start looking at the Constitution, we're going, oh, my God, what was I thinking? You know, every time I think now of the Iraq War, I want to kick my own butt. And the reason is because I sat there like rest of the other fools out there and said, yeah, let's go get them. Iraq went, they were just ignoring all the resolutions and all that. And let's go get them. It's our job. And now I look at that and I go, what the hell were you thinking, Dave? It was stupid. And I have evolved. And a lot of things that I thought back then are totally different now. And I am embarrassed, and I'll be the first to tell you, I made a mistake. Those things won't happen again. Right now in my life, it's about the Constitution first and foremost. Every decision on a federal level has to get by the Constitution first. If it doesn't, it shouldn't go past it. Just shouldn't. All these departments of commerce and all the rest of it close tomorrow. And by the way, there's only one candidate that I've heard this year that has even come close to saying we're going to get rid of it. And by the way, it was the Republican Party in the platform that said, we're going to get rid of the Department of Education. So when Bush became president, they got rid of all right. They doubled the size of it. That is the liberal Republican Party. So it's really difficult for me when I start thinking about the fact that, yes, you know, when Mike asked me if I was a Republican, I have to stutter because it's like, is it the new version or is it the one that I thought it was to be to begin with? I think that's where the problem is because, frankly, I don't know who this Republican Party is. When you get someone like Mitt Romney, who is as leftist as they get, who believes in abortion, don't even believe the lies, Politics 101, they're going to say anything and everything they can to get elected. All of a sudden, he could change his mind, don't get me wrong, but you know, abortion is not one thing that you really change your mind on, at least I haven't. Al Gore changed his mind. So you got Al Gore and a whole bunch of other ones. And when we're talking about the Department of Education, let's go back to the previous candidates, the ones that have already dropped out. We all know that Newt Gingrich loved the Department of Education. He liked all those things. He was a big government guy. And Santorum voted for it. He was a big government guy. And, of course, Romney, we all know, is a huge government guy. And here's little Ron Paul on the side who's saying, no, I don't think that's going to pass. And he's called a whack job. He's called a nut job. The guy that believes in the Constitution is the nut job. Folks, what am I missing? What am I missing? Oh, you know, and it's like Memorial Day yesterday. I started out the show by talking about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, to me, I want to see it be less and less dead soldiers. We don't have to go out there and start bombing countries just because there's some people that need jobs. You don't go out and start wars to fix the economy. It's like a tax. It really is like a tax. Yes, we're supposed to defend our country, but we're not supposed to be running all over the world dropping bombs and drones and the rest of it. And by the way, those drones are coming your way soon, if they haven't been there already. It's amazing. I'm really and truly trying to figure out who these people are anymore. And the Republican Party is not the party that we once knew. So when people tell me that we have to vote Republican, I'm trying to figure out who this Republican Party is. Maybe you can tell me. All right, tomorrow's guest is Bob Parker. He's candidate for Missouri 8th District. I have no idea where he stands. I don't. And actually, a lot of times I like that because then he can tell me, and I'm learning the same time you are. And it actually kind of works out pretty well a lot of times. So I think it's important we listen to all these. And if there's somebody you know, and in the next couple of weeks we're going to start having some of the other people that you know in Missouri. This is a nationwide show, by the way. So if you have somebody even in your district, you say, hey, you want to go on there and have to deal with Super Dave, go for it. So all righty, Had a great time. See you tomorrow. Thank you.
You can't quit.
And why not? Because you're fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Thanks. I needed that.